Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hey everyone, it's Blake here from the Metal Pit Podcast. Today I'm doing something a little different as I also host another podcast called Someone's in My Fruit Cellar Podcast with my co-host Lonnie. That's where we break down classic horror movies and even pick out a killer metal soundtrack to go with them. So right now I want to introduce that podcast to all the fans of this podcast. So I'm playing episode 2. We only have 3 episodes so far. First episode was the Evil Dead movie. Third episode was the Return of the Living Dead zombie flick. And the one I'm going to share with you now is episode 2 on that classic movie, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. If you like what you hear, make sure to subscribe and follow Someone's in My Fruit Cellar Podcast for more horror meets metal madness.
Welcome, horror fans. You're listening to Someone's in My Fruit Cellar Podcast with Blake and Lorne.
Welcome to Someone's in My Fruit Cellar Podcast,
where the trapdoor creaks open and horror classics come back to life.
I'm Blake.
And I'm Lonnie.
Each episode, we dive into the blood-soaked brilliance of classic horror films, breaking down the 10 scenes that sent shivers down your spine and etched themselves into horror history.
From demonic possessions to final girls, we'll dissect what made these moments unforgettable. And crank up the dread with the perfect soundtrack to match each one.
Yes, and this is our second episode. Our first episode was on The Evil Dead. So if you happen to catch this one first, please go check that one out. But yes, this is just our second episode. And I will mention, I have another podcast called The Metal Pit Podcast, which I host with various different guests, not a regular co-host, but we talk about a classic metal album. So in a certain way, it's the same, but that's about an album. And we don't pick up a top 10 songs on that one because we're talking about an album in the first place. But this one, yes, we're talking about classic horror movies and we decided to do a soundtrack. So we divide the movie into 10 different parts, I guess I'll say. And then we pick a song for each part that we think fits. And so to follow the Metal Pit Podcast, that's what it is on Instagram and Facebook, is at the Metal Pit Podcast. You can do a search on it on Spotify or Apple Podcast or any podcast place. And you'll find us and you'll find both the podcasts there. And the Metal Pit Instagram is at the Metal Pit. And you can just Google all that if you can't remember what I said. What about you, Lonnie? How can people find you on socials?
You can find me on Facebook, Lonnie Hilario, and on Instagram, Decay of Reality, or Lonnie Lee.
Okay, and my cat is meowing at my feet as we do this. But anyway, so yeah, our second movie, Lonnie picked this movie. It's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And tell us a little bit about why you picked this movie.
Picked this movie because it's a lot different from our first podcast, The Evil Dead. It was filmed in 1974, directed by Tobe Hooper. And it's just one of the most bizarre and brutal and psychological films of its time. And for the 1970s, it was quite the horror effect for sure.
Yeah, and just a quick little plot on it. The plot follows a group of friends who fall victim to a family of cannibals while on their way to visit an old family homestead of a couple of the people that are on the trip. You want to mention some of the actors, maybe?
Yes. So we have Marilyn Burns, and she plays Sally Hardesty in the movie. We have Gunnar. Everybody must know Gunnar Hansen as Leatherface. And then we have Paul A. Partain as Franklin Hardesty. We have Edwin Neal as the hitchhiker, the crazy psychotic hitchhiker, who's Nubbin Sawyer. And then we have Jim Sidhu. He's the cook, and his name in the movie is Drayton Sawyer from the Sawyer family. William Vale as Kirk. Terry McMinn as Pam, our meat hook Pam. And we have Alan Danziger as Jerry, John Dugan as Grandpa Sawyer. And of course, in the beginning of the movie, we do see a little bit of what's to come with the quote in the beginning, and that is narrated by John Larroquette.
No, I didn't know that for many years till after I seen it.
I always like to see who narrates what.
It would be uncredited, but anyway. Now, I don't, like, sometimes I'll try to remember when we first seen these movies, but we're going back to a 1974 movie. I'm sure I was like, what was I, 8 years old? I didn't see it then.
I didn't see it then. I wasn't even born yet.
So it would have been like we talked on the first episode about our first horror movie, and mine was whatever Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things on TV, and then Jaws I seen or whatever, which maybe it's not really a horror movie, but scary. But yeah, so there's no way if I'd known I was going to do a podcast 40 years later or 30 years later, I would have wrote all this stuff down. So yeah, I don't remember exactly when I saw it, but yeah, I've seen it bunch of times.
I've seen a bunch of times. I can't recall the first time I watched it, though. Definitely, like you mentioned, Jaws. That was scary, though. That was scary. I saw that as a child, but we'll talk about that a different time. I maybe was a young adult when I first saw it, because, of course, I probably didn't even know it existed for a long time. I wasn't born when the movie came out.
There's a whole bunch of these now, 4 or 5 or 6, I think. But yep. I remember watching the second one, but I just thought there was too much screaming in it. So I thought this is dumb. Now I don't know. Maybe I should go back and check it out again. The third one I liked, and because it was a little different, and I don't think I've seen any of the other things. There's other ones that I should probably check out sometimes, but have you seen any of the other ones? You remember?
I do. I have seen the other one. I've seen them all, actually. But
and of course, they did a remake of it, too, also. And
yeah, they did.
I did watch that one, but I can't really. I probably only watched it once.
Yeah, I'm not a remake person. I don't know why. I like original, more of an original stuff type person. Really, yeah.
I don't understand the point of remaking the movies, anyway.
Most of the time, remakes are subpar to the original. That's my personal opinion anyway.
Okay, so you only want to start with your first scene or first moments of the movie.
So there's a lot going on in this movie. Not a lot of pauses in between what's happening. Definitely talks about the cannibalistic and grotesque horror of the Sawyer family. But in the opening scene, we do see a montage of desecrated corpses. Now, right now, we don't know what's happening, but we do start seeing and hearing a radio broadcast. And then there's a grotesque display atop a gravestone. And there's some flashing lights because it seems there's some photos that are being taken in this scene. And then during the radio broadcast, we hear talking about grave robbery. And this kind of sets the tone of the macabre aesthetic of the scene and the film's theme of decay, death, and desecration is displayed here. The cemetery scene and the body derangement, they introduce the viewer to a world where death is not sacred. And news of the desecrated graves leads Sally and her wheelchair-bound brother Franklin, their friends Jerry, Pam, and Kurt to rural Texas to check on their grandfather's grave. And the group is seen in a van taking a road trip, exploring Texas and the countryside. They stop at a gas station and they're offered barbecue to eat by the cannibalistic cook, Drayton Sawyer.
But of course, we don't know he's cannibalistic then, of course.
We don't know, but...
So I'm not sure what he... Well, they did take some barbecue, like he got some barbecue from, so I don't know what that was.
That was human flesh, I'm sure.
But it was fun watching when they stopped at the gas station and there's some weird people living. I don't know if that's weird people in this movie.
It looks like the sheriff is sitting there drunk and he's seen some stuff. Definitely seen some stuff. And falls over and there's a group of people standing there by the graveyard as well. And talking to the group.
They're in the gas station and the guy comes out with his bucket and he starts washing the window.
Yeah.
And then they're asking the Drayton there about where this house might be. But he goes to go back into the gas station. So the guy takes his bucket and follows him. And then they ask him about where this place is. So he goes back. So the guy brings his bucket back and starts washing the front of the car. And then he goes back to the gas station again. And then he comes back a third time, he brings his bucket every time his boss comes back to the car. It was just kind of...
Yes, and the boss seems so nice and sweet. And he's even warning them not to go up that way to the house.
It was a little weird, actually. He goes, those girls don't want to go. And also another part, I don't know if this, like when Franklin had to pee, this was before they got to the gas station, I think. So they pull over and he's in a wheelchair and he's in the bushes or whatever, peeing into I'm not sure why, maybe.
A Maxwell House coffee can.
Yeah, I'm not sure why he couldn't just shoot it in the whatever. But
I was wondering the same thing. How come he just can't take it out and pee in the brush that's there?
It's really, really small. And he doesn't have a good stream or something. I don't.
He falls out of the wheelchair too.
Yeah, because the truck goes flying by, and so there's a big gust of wind, and that knocks him down a hill, and then he falls out of the wheelchair. But it's a really quick thing when they're back in the van again.
What's weird about that truck? It looks like it's a fuel tray, and then they tell him, maybe it's a truck full of cow poop. Who knows?
But yeah, anyway, I think that's all I have that was next. Oh, and I guess, I don't know. Again, it's been so many years since I first saw this movie, but I know that they said the movie was based on a true story because they wanted people to be more scared because of that thought or something. But it actually wasn't. It was based on somebody that was in Texas that killed people, but none of the stuff that happened is really what happened in that case.
They did believe that it was a true story in those days, and it later came out that no, none of it is true.
But they were just trying to get people's fears up and whatever about that. So I don't really, so watching the first part, I guess nothing's really happening yet exactly. It's just some weird people is all you're really seeing, and the news stories are bad, of course, but You're just seeing the weird other people. They all seem pretty normal, the five friends. Just everybody else seems weird.
Franklin's already freaked out, but Franklin seems a little mentally unstable too. With his belief and everything. But his sister is reading an astrology book, and she's saying Saturn's in retrograde, and she's telling everybody their horoscope. She's basically foreshadowing what's to come.
Yes.
So we do pick a song for every part that we break down, correct?
Yes, we do.
And we are going to find out what those are now. What did you pick for a song?
Okay, my song for that scene is by a group called Texas Toast Chainsaw Massacre. Have you ever heard of that group before?
Right. Yes, I have. I didn't even think about that one.
So it's from their, it's the song, that's also the song title. It's also Texas Toast Chainsaw Massacre. And it's from, now I'm just going by what I see on Spotify. I didn't go back to read maybe when it was really released somewhere else or something, but it says it's called the EP Collection and it was in 2017. And the start of the song, they play part of the narration from this movie. I'm not sure they're legally allowed to do that or if they just used somebody else's voice reading it. But they inserted the word toast into the title there. And so it says Texas Toast Chainsaw Massacre. And they are a Chicago crossover thrash band, and they have a lot of comedy in their songs. They also have a song called Happy Kilmore. And one that I love is called I Want to Pet Your Dog. Check out Texas Toast Chainsaw Massacre. So that's my song. So what's your song for this?
Well, I went brutal all the way through, but I played Autopsy, Charred Remains because of the barbecue. And I really do think that was Human Remains. That's an old school, raw, grotesque, dirty, kind of abstract horror song. It was released April 24th, 1989.
Okay. Now we get to see the hitch.
Yeah, now we get to see the crazy hitchhiker.
Sorry, that's what I call them. Sorry.
So the group, they move on and they pick up a strange and erratic. And Blake said, don't you dare call him strange and erratic, right?
Yeah.
Hitchhiker, this is Nubbin Sawyer from the Cannibalistic We Don't Know Yet, whole family. He speaks cryptically and cuts his own hand. He takes a picture of Franklin and then invites the group to dinner with his family. He takes a photo, like I said, and then he cuts his own hand. I don't know what the significance of that was. I think it was because he had already planned that he is going to kill these people or have his family or Leatherface kill them, but he does mark the van after he gets kicked out. They decline the invite to dinner. And then he burns the picture of Franklin. And then just erratically just starts slashing Franklin's arm before being kicked out. And I think that the act of burning Franklin's photo was ritualistic. But I also feel like Franklin was feeding into it a little bit. He's a little weird himself playing with his knife there in front of some crazy hitchhiker. I feel like this is a foreshadowing of Franklin's fate, an announcement of Franklin's death. Then, of course, when he gets kicked out, he smears blood on the van as he leaves, marking it. The group then arrives at an old rundown house once owned by Sally and Franklin's family.
Yeah, and in the van, first, before they even picked up the hitchhiker, they smelled the stink or whatever, and then Franklin starts talking about it's a place.
That's what got me when he's saying, oh, it's a place where they slaughterhouse.
He
goes into detail about it, and they used to hit him with a sledgehammer over the head, and now they just use a gun, and he started getting into it.
Yeah. And so when the hitchhiker got on, he said he was just there or something. So they were talking, him and Franklin were talking about that. And the girls didn't really want to hear all this stuff, I don't think.
No, they didn't.
So they were getting along well for a few minutes. him and Frank.
Yeah, I think they could have been best friends had all that. The girls wouldn't have been there. They probably would have ended up being best friends. Who knows? But girl kind of ruin everything.
Yeah, so when he cut, because he took Franklin's knife.
Yep.
I don't know, just to look at her, because he didn't cut himself with Franklin's knife. He cut himself with his own knife. So I don't really know. I think so, because he had his own knife in his, like, in his ankle sock or whatever, in his sock or whatever. Because he pulled out his own knife, and I thought he used that one on his. Oh no, he did use Frank. Sorry,
He stole it right out of Franklin's hand.
Yeah,
but he didn't
give it back. But then he had his own knife, and I think. I don't know why he pulled that out, because he didn't use it on anybody.
His knife? Yes, he slashed his Franklin's arm with it.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
And then Franklin was crying.
Yeah.
Afterward.
And then he burned the photo after he took the photo, and he was just acting all like weird and whatever. Strange.
What's that thing on the side of his face? Is that a birthmark or the hitchhiker? Is that a birthmark or is that
it's probably a scar from something that went wrong once.
Uh-huh. I was wondering, I was trying to analyze it and assess it. Is that a birthmark or blood?
I don't think it was fresh blood, so I think, you know, because I think it was on his face, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. So what did you pick for a song for this part of the movie?
Okay, my song for this one is, I picked from Infectious Grooves.
Oh, I love it.
Song called Cousin Randy. And the reason I picked Cousin Randy is that the song is about a weird guy. Okay. Infectious Grooves. Mike Muir is a singer. He was also in Suicidal Tendencies. And Infectious Groove has, of course, also has the bass player that's now in Metallica. Like Disney right now for some reason. It doesn't matter. And anyway, so the song is about, the song about Cousin Randy is a weird guy. The song is about the singer, his cousin Randy. And the only job he's ever had that he liked was one where he would cut the heads off of chickens. And so that just made me think about cow killing thing. And so Cousin Randy cut the heads off a chicken. And some of the lines from that song is, somebody asked him why he likes his job. And he says, I rip the head off the chicken and then the chicken starts flying all over. Then he comes back at me and I wonder, is he flying back at me because he's mad because I ripped his head off? Or is he flying at me because I'm holding his head in my hand? Or is he flying at me because he can't see where he's going or whatever? So there you go. So I just.
I love Infectious Grooves. I have not listened to them in a long time. You just reminded me of them.
That's on. I didn't write the year of that down, but that's on their album. Now I forget. Damn, why didn't I write that down?
That's okay.
Something and Nasty. I just forget the name, but anyway. Yes, it's a great song. So I just thought that the hitchhiker was Cousin Randy. So there you go.
What's unpredictable. We do see a chicken later on in the movie, so that fit, right?
Yeah.
So I picked Phallic Carnage, Wraith, and because it reflects the Hitchhikers, the song itself reflects the Hitchhikers' erratic movements and unpredictable violence, which is definitely depicted in this scene. I don't think the group expected, they knew he was strange, but I don't think they expected him to cut his own hand or to gouge somebody's arm. I think that fits well with this part of the movie.
Does anybody even pick up hitchhikers anymore? I don't know.
Heck no. We see them all the time in Maine. There's no way I'm stopping for any. I watched too many horror movies to do that.
I tried to, before I picked that song, I was trying to, Google songs about hitchhikers. I couldn't find anything that reminded me of any songs that I listened to, or there was nothing that I listened to. And so, yeah, so I had to went off there on 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
So part the next three. Part, let's see. What are we talking about next? We're talking about Kirk and Pam Explore. So here we see the first kill, Leatherface's first appearance in the movie, and Kirk's death. And Pam as well, right? She comes back to life a little bit for a second. the group gets to the house, they exit the van, and then they all together observe this marking on the van. And they said something about this marking, and I can't remember what specifically they said. But they observe the blood marking on the side. Now they're starting to get a little more freaked out as to what's going on. And what I did notice going back a little bit is the gas attendant washed pretty much the whole van except for that, right? That part, that blood, that obvious blood stain that was there. So they explore, they relax. Franklin is not happy about being there, though. He is just not happy. And the funny thing about this is that he's blowing raspberries, a little child.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I noticed that the hitchhiker did the same thing when he got kicked out of the van. So they're very similar in that way.
Yeah. So they could have been good friends. Yes. You're right.
Yeah. They explore, they relax, they're unaware of the dangers that are lurking nearby. And Franklin is seen outside. He's having difficulty maneuvering his wheelchair. There's not much space for him to move around, and it's mostly all gravel. He's visibly upset, and the group is laughing, having fun, reminiscing, and exploring the home. Then Pam and Kirk, they decide they want to go swimming and to look for gas because they couldn't find gas at the gas station.
Yeah, the gas station instead of gas. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, they're having fun. They're exploring the home. And then Pam and Kirk decide that they're going to go out and go swimming and look for gas. They hear strange noises while they're out there. And meanwhile, Franklin makes it back into the house. And while still visibly upset, he notices a rope that's hanging in a bag of bones. And he becomes even more freaked out. And then going to Kirk and Pam, they're outdoors walking. They're in this trail that looks more like, what, how would you call that? Like a ditch or?
I think maybe that was supposed to be that there was a creek there once.
There was, that's right. There was a creek there.
But it was dried up or whatever, right?
Because they asked Franklin where to go swimming. He said, I think there's a swimming hole down.
Yeah.
Down there.
I think that's what it was. That
okay.
It was dried up, so it wasn't there anymore.
Yeah, this is Texas. So
then
yes,
they saw the
dry
house. Then they saw the house and thought, oh, maybe they have gas. Yeah.
Yes, because they saw the generator out there, and they figured, I'll just leave my guitar. Kirk said he would leave something behind as collateral and borrow some gas. And then when the gas station has some, they'll go and replace their gas. But they start hearing strange noises, and they decide anyway to go up to the home and knock on the door. Kirk observed what appeared to be a human tooth, but I don't know if he knew that's what it was, but he placed it in Pam's hand, and she freaked out and she said, nope, we got to get out of here. Let's leave. And Kirk enters the house, and pretty much right away, as soon as he's walking toward the end of the hallway, we see Leatherface for the first time with a sledgehammer, and he knocks him over the head a few times. The accuracy of the twitching of Kirk, I thought, was freaky. And then he drags him further in the home. And we don't see what happens to him until Pam.
Yeah, and that's in our next scene, right? Yeah. Okay. Also, I was one of the things that when they heard the generator and he's looking, or he's trying to find where the noise is coming from, and there's all those old cars, and he asked Pam to come over to look, and there's all these old cars. So I'm wondering if that's supposed to be other people that they've done over the years, and they hit their cars so nobody could find them.
Yeah.
That's what that was about.
Yeah, the old cars. I was wondering about that. And then the ornaments. What's up with the old clock and things hanging from the tree? I didn't understand.
One looked like it was a part from a car, too. Like it was.
That's right.
The clock or something like that. So I'm thinking maybe that's what that was, too, is they decorate their trees with parts, cars.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. So I also noticed that Franklin had this sausage hanging from his mouth, right, when he's looking at the blood stain on the van from the gas station barbecue. Woo! And I think he realized it tasted funny because he starts spitting it everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even really pay attention. Yeah. That's where that food was. Yeah. See, is there any, I don't think there's anything else I had to add to that. Because we still, right at the end is when we see Leatherface, but that's more about the next scene anyway.
Yeah, that's pretty much the first appearance of Leatherface.
Yes. Uh-huh.
What did you pick for a song for this part?
Okay, now this section and the next section, I could have, I changed that. What did I do? Okay, never mind. Off on the thing. Okay, my song for this one is, I'm probably going off on something else here. But
it's okay.
Thin Lizzy. And their song Thunder and Lightning from 1983.
Nice.
And I picked this because of some of the lyrics, because I was listening to this. I was just randomly listening to songs, and then this came on and went, oh, that'd be a good one. Because he said, thunder and lightning, goddamn, it's so exciting. It hits you like a hammer, goddamn, because he got hit with a hammer in the head. So that's. And also in the song, it says, it was Saturday night. I was dressed to kill. So Leatherface was dressed to kill.
Perfect.
I don't know if it was Saturday night or not, or it wasn't night yet, but I'm not sure what day of the week it was. But anyway, it also says thunder is strong, lightning is death. But anyway, I just thought that song would fit if you were listening to it, watching.
Yeah, I think so too.
There. So yeah. So that's my song for that one. And that was 1983 from the album of the same name, Thunder and Lightning.
I picked Mortal Decay, Post-Mortem Feast, because I really do think that they're eating human remains. I really do. And this one is off their 1999 album, A Gathering of Human Artifacts. And also we see the Bag of Bones gathering. To me, that just fits with that. They do a lot of gathering of bones and human artifacts in this movie. And then we see, of course, the skin masks as well. Leatherface.
Cool.
And then we have the next part. And I feel like the way I separated it all could have went together.
Right? Yeah. It's hard to, it's not just certain.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, like we said at the start. So it is
It's hard to separate everything. So it just keeps going and going. But this is great. This is this is probably the most iconic part of the movie, is when Pam goes into the house after searching for Kurt, and she's in a chilling room filled with furniture, decorations made from bones and feathers and human remains. And it's called the Bone Room. And then Pam bolts from the room screaming and trying to flee. She already knows something's up. And even before she enters the house with the tooth and everything. She wanted to leave. I don't know why she went back. I don't know why she went in there. But she was on her way out, and then she turned around. And as she reaches the front door, because she's trying to flee, Leatherface, he suddenly appears again, and he's blocking her path. He grabs Pam, which is one of the most iconic parts of the movie, where she's in the doorway she's flailing all over the place. And it didn't take Leatherface long to pull her inside, lifts her off her feet. He carries her to the back room and impales her alive on the meat hook. And she's forced to watch Kurt getting mutilated on a nearby workbench by Leatherface as he swings his chainsaw around. I think that she was in a lot of pain, I might add. Agony.
Yeah, because she was still alive. But yes, she was in a lot of pain. With luckily, she wore a shirt with no back on it. Or whatever. I guess she had a bikini top on. Something like that.
Oh, I can't even imagine. It's gonna hurt. Oh, that's gonna be awful.
Yeah, and she had to hang there in pain, screaming, watching him, Leatherface, get the chainsaw out and chopping up Kurt,
her boyfriend.
Yeah, so I think this relationship is over. I don't know.
Yeah, I would say so. Safely say so. It's over. Definitely over.
Yeah, and yeah, they didn't. that's where they, that part of the scene, like, he didn't show her putting her in the freezer. I don't think we see, no, we didn't see her getting put in the freezer or anything there.
We didn't.
Yeah. And again, the chains, this movie is so horrifying and everything. You didn't see the hook going into her back, but you just know that's, of course, what was going to happen. And yep. She's screaming. And then he gets a chainsaw. But again, they're not showing the chainsaw cutting him up. That's what's supposedly happening. Well, if this was now, if they made this movie now, of course, they have all these effects and they could show that kind of stuff. But back then,
it wasn't legal back then.
Still, they still made it scary enough that people think they're seeing it. Well, they're not seeing it, but yeah. And yes, there was also a chicken in that room in that cage. I don't know if that was a pet chicken or if they were going to eat it.
That's when we see the chicken. What is the significance of the chicken? Is it a pet? You think? There's feathers everywhere.
I don't know what the, I'm not sure.
It is an old farmhouse, maybe.
It was a chicken, like in a bird cage kind of deal.
It's kind of strange how he values his pet chicken over human life. But...
Well, he probably maybe makes eggs. That's for eggs.
Oh, that's right.
Eggs and ribs and liver and stuff.
Yes, that makes sense. Yeah. And I think she, when she's getting out of the bone room, she's already falling all over the place. She almost made it out of the house. Almost. Almost.
And of course, she went into the house to find her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Because he was.
Bad thing, bad decision. Don't chase after a man.
We're two movies in and two relationships ended.
That's sad.
Yeah, it's too bad.
What did you pick for a song for this part?
Okay, so I picked the group Jackal. Jackal?
Uh-huh.
The song The Lumberjack, because it features a chainsaw solo.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember the song, but anyway, the song, yeah, it features an actual chainsaw solo. So if there's ever been a character in cinema who deserves a chainsaw breakdown, it's Leatherface.
Yes, definitely. That's a great
now, hit. I don't, the song has nothing to do with horror or anything. It's just, I just like that it's a chainsaw.
It fits.
So, yeah.
It fits with the chainsaw.
So yeah. Leatherface is like a lumberjack, and he's big enough to be.
Definitely big enough to be. He's childlike, though. He's got the childlike behaviors, and I think he's afraid that his family's going to find out, except for his crazy, erratic hitchhiker brother, that he's murdering people, right?
Yes.
Yep.
So and what's your song for that scene?
I picked Aborted, Death Cult, released January 12th, 2024, on their single, and it featured Alex Arion of Despised Icon, and it directly references this scene in the movie, and that's why I picked it. And it was also released on their Vault of Horrors album, released on March 15th, 2024. Yeah. So it directly references this part of the movie where Pam is being hung on the meat hook.
Okay. Okay. Part five.
Part five is, so there was a lot of back and forth, right, about Jerry. We weren't really sure what happened to Jerry, but the rest of the group, they're standing at the van. Jerry's there with Sally and Franklin, and they're taunting Franklin. They're saying, he's going to get you. He's going to get you. And they notice that his knife is missing, so they start looking for his knife, but they don't find it. And then Jerry decides he's going to go into the woods after waiting a while for Kirk and Pam, and he's calling out for them. Then he ventures to the nearby farmhouse, calling out to his friend, trying to find them. And when he gets to the house, he's looking in the windows. He's calling out for that Kirk and Pam. He's, at this point, hearing some noises, which sound sexual in nature, I would say, but he thinks he's being goofed. He thinks that they're playing with him, but while searching.
Yeah, not to interrupt you, but what were those noises anyway? Like, I didn't understand.
I didn't understand what it was because when he gets inside, Pam is in the freezer.
Yeah.
So I didn't understand.
I don't think they're having sex.
Right. No, because Kirk is dead. He's gone. He's been chopped to pieces. And Pam's
But you didn't see where Leatherface was at this time. So maybe he was making, I don't know if he was making noises to draw him into the house or what that was, but it sounded
Pam. Maybe he was in the process of putting her in the freezer.
Yeah, maybe.
He was moaning or something.
Yeah, possibly.
But yes. That's the only thing I could come up with.
Yeah.
With those noises. But then he goes in the house while he's looking for them. Then Jerry spies the deep freezer. And that's where Pam is stuffed. But he doesn't know it until he opens it. And she pops out of the freezer briefly. I don't know if she's alive or if that was just a reflex. No idea. And it startled Jerry. Now, Leatherface, let me say that again, Leatherface, he is in the other room. And then he suddenly appears and hits. He's really nervous and he's afraid he's going to get caught. And he doesn't want anybody to know what's happening. So he hits Jerry with the sledgehammer and Jerry goes on the floor. And I think at this point, Leatherface doesn't know what to do. So he's up, runs back and he sits down in his chair. But then you see him licking his lips because, of course, that cannibalistic nature is coming out in him.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have the movie on a VHS or DVD or whatever.
I wish I did.
And yeah, so when he hit him on the head and he fell to the ground, I didn't see anything else about him. So when I watched it, since it's been years since I probably watched it, I thought, is he still alive? Is he going to come back at the end? Because they didn't really show anything else about it. But I guess he was just instantly dead by the hammer, but they just didn't show him again. So I was confused thinking.
Yeah, Leatherface didn't do anything with him, didn't drag him out, didn't on the meat hook, didn't. I think at this point, because he's afraid of what his family's going to think about.
Yeah, I don't. The only thing I thought, maybe there was something happened that they had to take out of the movie later on, but I didn't think there was anything in the movie that was where they couldn't show it. But I was thinking maybe that was why. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
Maybe.
We searched it and it just said he got killed. It didn't really say anything else about it. So I just was confused the first time. Watching it again here recently.
Yeah, and I did minimal research on that. But
and the freezer was shaken. So I don't know if she was still. I thought the freezer was kind of shaking a little, wasn't it? And that's why he opened it to see why it was shaking. But maybe her body was still just shaking from the pain or what. I don't know. I'm not a nurse.
Was she alive or dead at this point is my question, because it seems like she's still alive.
Yeah, I think she might have just been in shock, right? Maybe. I don't know.
That could be it. That could be it.
She did move when he opened the door. And that scared him, obviously.
Yep. But
and he got Leatherface stuffed her back in the freezer, so maybe she was still alive. I don't know for sure. They didn't really.
Barely alive, if she was.
Yeah.
And Leatherface is losing control here. Definitely in his own mind, he's losing control. And I think he was planning on killing as many as he could, but he just lost control and saw that Jerry was there and had seen what happened. So that's why he hit him with the sledgehammer. And I'm sure Jerry instantly died from that blow.
Yeah, I get. Yeah.
I have a feeling that.
On Wikipedia, all it says is Jerry died. It doesn't say anything.
Yeah, there wasn't much on Jerry. Jerry kind of one and done. He was just like done.
Well, I guess that's another relationship that's over, because him and Sally, weren't they a couple, I think, too?
I'm not sure about that, but
I thought maybe they were, but
maybe you're probably accurate on that. But Leatherface is just he's erratic. He's so erratic. So I guess it doesn't matter what happened to Jerry as long as he's dead now.
Right? Yeah, I was just confused. Watched it. And like, okay,
there might have been a lot that was edited out that movie for rating purposes as well.
Yes.
So what did you pick for a song for this part of the movie?
Well, the song I picked, I just went by the title of the song mostly for this one. I picked Sledgehammer Rock by Raven from their 1983 album, All for One, which is one of my favorite albums of all time, by the way. But yeah, it's not about violence or anything. It's about playing heavy music. But it says Sledgehammer Rock is going to hit you where it hurts. And it's a full-scale attack, painful as the rack.
Yes. I like that.
Yeah, so there's my song. I don't have much else to say about it. But
yes. I normally pick either the title that fits or the lyrics.
Yeah.
I'm both.
Never fit. So I pick Devourment, Butcher the Week. And they're actually from Dallas, Texas. Another reason why I picked this song.
That's cool.
This song was released on November 11, 2005. And I feel like it fits because that's what Leatherface is doing. He's butchering the weak, these poor weak people. They can't fight him off for sure.
Yes. Okay. Number six, right?
Woo, here we go. Franklin's death, right?
Yes.
So after Jerry's death and the whole scene with Pam, he's seeing with his sister Sally at the van. They're honking the horn to alert their friends, calling out for the rest of the group. Sally insists on going into the woods alone to find her missing friends. And Franklin and Sally start having a sibling spat. And then Franklin notices that the keys to the van are missing at this point. Now, I don't know what happened to the keys. Maybe Jerry had them in his pocket, or Kirk, or they were left in the house. I'm not sure. Did you?
Yeah, I don't think they really showed anything about that. Like you would say, maybe the driver had whoever was driving, which was the lad Jerry there. You figured probably just has the keys in his pocket, but they didn't show anything like Leatherface or anybody coming to the van and take the keys. Oh, yeah, I don't know why he was so upset that the keys were missing.
Yeah, he was screaming out, the keys are missing. The keys are missing. Did he say someone stole the keys? Or
maybe they showed the keys were still in there at one point or something, but maybe it's been a quick thing and maybe they didn't notice it or something. That's why he says the keys are missing. I don't know. Yeah.
He's been visibly upset the entire movie. So.
Yeah, because he thinks that guy's, because he was still talking about her. He's saying, do you think he's following us or he can find us or whatever?
Yeah. And then Sally and Franklin, they decide to go into the dark woods together, and she's pushing the wheelchair through the woods. They're calling out for their friend. They see the farmhouse where Kirk and Pam and Jerry are currently. Dead, but they're there. And then they are calling out for their missing friends as they're going up to the house. And Sally and Franklin, they're like in the scene. Of course, we see the moon now. It's nighttime. And they're not really sure if they should go into that house or not. But they take a chance thinking they might be able to find help or their missing friend. And then Leatherface emerges from the dark and he chainsaws Franklin to death. Now, we didn't see Franklin getting really mutilated by the chainsaw, but it is implied in the movie that now Sally is the last surviving of the group. And this was a sudden and violent ambush on Franklin as Leatherface emerges to kill him with the chainsaw.
Yes. I wonder when they wrote this movie, why they thought, hey, let's put somebody in a wheelchair. I don't know.
Yeah. And he was feeling inadequate too. He was like, I know why you didn't want me to come with you. And Sally said, I'm just tired, Franklin.
He was going to say something else too. And then she says, what? Now what do you want? And then he says, forget it. So I don't know what he was going to say because he never said it.
Yeah, he never said it. But he definitely didn't want her to go into the woods alone.
Yes.
But she had to push his wheelchair through the woods. And that's why she was originally wanting to go herself. But he didn't want her to do that either, which is completely understandable.
The good brother.
What a good brother. But now he's mutilated. Sally's all by herself. Poor Sally.
Now they have a wheelchair, too.
They have a wheelchair. I doubt Leatherface left much behind. That wheelchair is probably destroyed, too.
Yeah,
and those fancy electric wheelchairs like they do now.
I guess it was 74. Maybe they didn't have them.
No, they didn't have those nice motorized ones like they do now. Now they can go into rough terrain. So Franklin didn't have that luxury.
No. I think that's why they showed him taking a pee earlier in the movie and getting blown over by wind to show how hard it is to maneuver in a wheelchair, because it came back to haunt him later on too.
Yeah.
Not that the other four, they didn't have wheelchairs and they didn't do too well either.
Yeah, he's been struggling with that wheelchair the whole movie. I felt so bad for him. I thought, if only we could get you a motorized wheelchair, that would be great. So what did you pick for a song for this part of the movie?
Okay, I went with Mr. Bungle and their song Sudden Death, because Franklin had a sudden death.
Sudden and violent, yes.
Yes, and the song, it has Mike Patton on the vocals, Scott Ian's on the guitar from Anthrax in this band, and it's just a ferocious song, and it's twisted, of course, because most stuff that Mike Patton's on is twisted, and it's back and forth. It's like a 7-minute song, but yeah, and it's on their album, The Raging Wrath of the Easter Bunny demo, it's called 2020.
That's a great pick.
But, you know, it just, that was another song I listened to the other day. Sudden Death's got to be in a horror movie. So I put it to this one because there was a sudden death. And there we go. So what's your song?
Mine is Deeds of Flesh, Hunting Human. Because Leatherface is on the hunt and he is sudden and violent. And that's off their album Trading Pieces that was released in July of 1996.
Cool. This is all death metal so far, isn't it, from you?
I think? For me, yes. There's one that's not so much. But I feel like the brutal death metal style fits perfectly with this movie.
Just for people, if people are listening again, and I think we mentioned this in the first one, I don't listen to too much death metal, or hardly any, so I probably won't have any death metal songs, but Lonnie likes death metal more than me, and so that's why you're going to hear some from her, and mine might be more weird song. Not weird.
It's not weird. You know what? I love your picks, and I'm glad. You know what? What's great is that we haven't picked the same song so far. We did on the first episode.
Not on this episode yet, and I'm guessing we won't, but who knows? We'll see.
We'll see.
Okay, number 7.
So this is when Sally runs through the woods and we see the first window jump. She's crazy. She jumps out the window. But I guess she didn't really have much of a choice, right? So after her brother dies, she escapes. She's running through the woods. It looks like she's running a really long way. And it's nighttime. It's dark. She can't see where she's going. The woods are dense and Leatherface is chasing right behind her with the chainsaw, trying to get at her. And you see him chopping through the trees to get through her. His chainsaw's roaring and she stumbles upon a large house, which is the Sawyer's house. This is where it gets really interesting. And she's not knowing what this house is, obviously. She's not knowing what's inside. And we know what's inside, the cannibalistic family, if you've seen the movie before. But if you haven't, you wouldn't know until you see it. She runs inside. She's seeking help. And she ends up in a room filled with human bones and feathers. And She sees two apparently old and decrepit men sitting upright, one of whom is later revealed to be Grandpa.
Wasn't the other one maybe Grandma?
Grandma, I think so.
I think so, yeah. I think it looked like a woman. I know.
Wasn't there a mention of Grandma in the beginning of the movie when they were exploring the house? And a mention about Grandma?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I know they only mention Grandpa like later. I guess in the next part, it too, they talk about him. So I don't know why they didn't bring Grandma down or whoever that was.
Grandma wasn't important.
Yes.
Grandpa was the supposed killer of the family, right?
Yeah.
And when she realizes all the dangers that are lurking inside this home, she flees upstairs and then she jumps out of the window to escape Leatherface, who chases her up the stairs. The first window jump that had to have hurt. She landed right on her face.
Yeah. And now this also, that's all you're going to say, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This also I guess I would say it's in this scene because it's before, because our next scene is the dinner scene. But she ran to the gas station.
That's right. She did. Yeah.
Help. And that guy was there again and she thought she was going to get help. But then as she sat there and looked at the barbecue and then looked at some other things, she thought, wait, something's not right here. And then, he brought the truck up to the door and then he came in to get her. And then she thought he's not good or whatever. So they started fighting and he was like hitting her with the broom.
Hitting her with a stick in the truck. Yeah.
That was in the truck, but in the room still, or in the gas station office or whatever the heck it was. But yeah, he's hitting her with a broom and he finally gets a hold of her and he puts her in a sack or whatever. And puts her in the truck and he's driving with the truck and he keeps hitting her with a stick. And I'm just thinking, maybe is he tenderizing her?
That's a good question. Yeah, but it looks like he's trying to help her at first. So
yes.
He picks her up off the floor. He sits her down. He's being very attentive to her. Now, this guy, he seems like he's got somewhat of a soft heart, right? He's like trying to help her. She's saying, call the cops. And of course, he's not going to call the cops.
No.
And she does. She sees those. She looks right over at the barbecue. She immediately realizes what's going on at that point, I think.
Yes.
And he's rubbing her hair. And when he gets her in the truck, though, it's a different story.
He's saying everything's going to be okay, but he keeps hitting her with a stick.
Yes. And then once he gets the sack over her head, it's almost like, I don't have to see this person, because he's not the killer. He's not a killer type. He just likes to eat people, but he doesn't like to do the killing part. And he likes to cook.
Yeah. Obviously. Yes.
But he's tantalizing with beating her with that stick over her head, like, oh, that's kind of fun. Ooh, I should do this more often.
And another thing, before he even leaves, when he gets her in the truck, he realizes he left the lights on and the gas station, so he goes back in and shuts
it off. It's crazy. He's like, oh, yeah, because the electric bill. He was complaining about how the electric bill is so high. Not much has changed, has it?
No, he's a very conscious person.
He's very conscious. But he seems so polite and nice and kind, like he's going to help her at first. But
yeah, it is kind of strange how at the start of the movie he says, oh, you don't want to go there and you don't want to do this, yet it's his house and he's the one that cooks the body. So I don't really, I don't know. Maybe
I think he's afraid of the whole, I think it grosses him out, the whole killing part. But he doesn't mind eating it. It's like in the beginning of the movie when the girls were like, can we stop talking about how the cows die? I don't think it's right that people eat animals. Well, I think he's feeling that way too. I don't want to see the killing part. I just want to eat them. But is a broomstick, I think, that he does hit her over the head with.
Yeah.
You're right about that. Yeah. So what did you pick? What did you pick for this scene?
Okay, now my pick is more on the chase part of the scene where he's Leatherface is chasing Sally. So that my song is more about that part. And my song is The Chase is Better Than the Catch by Motorhead on their Ace of Spades album from 1980. And my thought is just that she's fighting, because later, of course, she's fighting back or whatever. So the chase was more exciting than the catch because she's not as easy to cook up in a stew as they thought she would be.
Yeah, she grabs the knife right off the countertop and tries to fight back. Yeah. And that's what causes the whole, I'm going to put a bag over your head, a sackcloth or whatever canvas bag it was. Yep. And she's a fighter. I'll give her that. She's tough. And I picked Pantera, Cowboys from Hell. That was my only non-death metal song. And I picked it because at this point she's realizing these are crazy people that I'm around. And Pantera is also from Texas. I feel like they all have the Texas accent the family does in this movie, which kind of makes me think about that Cowboys from Hell song. Yeah, it fits in that part of the movie, and especially when she realizes that she's in a really bad situation at this point. This whole family's crazy.
Yes, that fits very well.
Yep. But I don't know if she knows their family yet. So I think she's still figuring that out.
It's
not revealed until she's actually sitting with them.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, I don't think we even know. The first time we watched the movie, I don't think we know that he's connected yet either, do we?
No, because when the first times I remember seeing the movie, I thought, it's a nice old man that's going to, you know, this guy at the gas station, he's harmless. He's a nice guy and he's going to help her. No.
Even when she ran in, he goes outside to see who's coming after her, supposedly. But then there's nobody there. Nobody.
Yeah,
comes.
And he backs up the truck like he's going to save her.
Yeah.
But when she starts to fight back.
So I don't know.
No plans on saving her, but it just seems that way.
I don't know if he saw Leatherface or if he's scared knowing that's where Dad is. And so he just ran back to the house or something. They don't say anything about that or not.
Yeah, he's got some crazy sons, Leatherface and he's trying to make them mine, but they just don't listen. He's not agreeable with all that grave robbery and everything. And he even says it. In the movie, didn't he stop the truck and say, what are you doing digging up graves again?
Yeah.
I told you to stop doing that.
He comes across the hitchhiker again with the son, his other son. And we find out that they're brothers, him and Leatherface, the hitchhiker.
That's when we find out before the dinner scene. There's so much to this movie.
Scene 8, dinner. It's dinner time.
So now we're seeing that Sally is in the truck, as we talked about earlier, he's hitting her with the broomstick. We talked about how he stopped before he got to the house to talk to the hitchhiker. We're starting to see the connection between all of these cannibalistic people. And they tie Sally to a chair made of bones, and she's forced to endure a horrific dinner with them, including the grotesque grandpa who's now sitting at the table. And the family tries to let their ancient and barely alive grandpa bash Sally over the head with a hammer. And as this is going, right before this happens, though, I think that they're offering the cook, right, to do it. They say, you've never killed anybody before. You do it. And I don't like doing the killing part. You guys are grotesque. And it's almost like he's downplaying the fact that his two sons are violent killers, but the grandpa keeps dropping the hammer into the steel basin that they have her laying over. But he does hit her one time over the head with help.
Yes.
And she's screaming in terror. Then she ends up escaping a second time, but we're not up to that part yet.
Yes. And I will just add, yeah, so they did send the boys up to get Grandpa to carry him downstairs. When they did tie her, they tied her up to the chair so she couldn't get away at this point. And then they brought Grandpa closer to her. And in the sexiest scene in the movie is when they cut her finger and then I let Grandpa suck her the blood from her finger, whatever. That was pretty sexy.
Yeah. That was disgusting. Come on.
He seemed to enjoy it, but.
Yeah. They're poking her. They're taunting her. And Leatherface is running around frantically like he always does in this part of the movie. He's yelling at him, though. The cook is. He's yelling at him. He's chasing him with the broomstick.
Yeah, they're a weird family, I guess you could say.
Dysfunctional. My gosh.
But yeah, she passes out. I think after the grandpa sucking the blood thing or whatever, she passes out and then she wakes up and sees all three of them sitting there, or four of them, I guess. Grandpa was still there too, but they're just sitting there staring at her. And so she wakes up screaming. She's begging to let her go and all this stuff. And then the other three are howling and screaming. And
it's just a frantic scene.
Telling them to shut up and stuff.
Yeah, he comes out with the broomstick as he's cooking and she's tied to the chair and he's telling her to shut up. But then again, he's rubbing her and saying, it's going to be okay. It's on one extreme to the net in this scene.
And the guy's making fun of her. The hitchhiker dude is making fun of her, crying and stuff, and he's doing it and whatever.
Yeah, and they say, oh, we're a great family. They're sitting around the table.
Your typical Texan family.
Typical Texan family. Oh, my God.
Hey, I'm joking if you live in Texas. Okay, wait till you hear my song for this one.
What's your song for this one?
Okay, I'm doing a Canadian group called Helix, and their song, When the Hammer Falls.
I saw that one.
And it's why didn't I write that down? That's from the Walk in the Razor's Edge album. But I just thought the grandpa was trying to hit her with a hammer and he kept dropping it. So when the hammer falls, there you go. It's not really horror, of course. But they do say in the lyrics, it'll all come down on Judgment Day when the hammer falls.
When the hammer falls.
This is her Judgment Day, isn't it? I think it is. So there we go. Yes.
All right. So I pick Mortician, Chainsaw Dismemberment for this one. Definitely depicts the whole chainsaw. I think it goes with every scene, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But they do reference this part in the movie. I just thought it was a perfect fit. The Mortician has a lot of the audio from the movie in this part as well. So I really like this pick for this scene. And it's just erratic. Mortician is just a very erratic sounding bin, which is really fitting for the scene. Now, also in this scene, we do see the skin mask. And I was wondering, are those one of the friends?
Oh, that he's wearing on his face, you mean?
No, we see it like a skin mask on a stick. Right. She's sitting at the table and then she starts getting hysterical again. I was wondering, whose face is that?
I didn't
is that her boyfriend?
Close enough attention. It might have been one of her friends. Maybe.
Maybe it was her boyfriend.
Possibly. Yeah. I am wondering if there is some stuff that's not in the movies now on the streaming that maybe was in 74.
Maybe.
So I'm not sure if there is something we miss or if we're just supposed to assume that's either one of the two guys that was killed earlier, whether it's her boyfriend.
Somebody knows. They can let us know, right?
Yes. Tell us. Because I didn't see anything about that there.
Yeah. I saw it. And I didn't do much research on it, but I was wondering whose face is that that's hanging up over the table?
And Leatherface also had like lipstick and stuff on his face mask too, didn't he? What that was all about.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about. Maybe it's blood.
Maybe, but it looked
like he smeared his lips full of blood.
But anyway.
He's kind of crazy, isn't he?
Okay. Scene 9.
Oh, so scene 9, Sally, she finally escapes and we see her jump through the window a second time. And she's desperately pleading for her life to Drayton Sawyer, who is the cook. She's still thinking that maybe he's going to help her. And we see the close-up of her eyes as she's tied to the chair. So it really depicts that desperation and that she's going to have some PTSD from this. Definitely see that in her eyes. But
she has beautiful green eyes, we noticed.
Yes, I noticed that too. And because the hitchhiker unties her from the chair, she's able to escape again. And then Leatherface chases her with his chainsaw roaring. He's trying to catch up with her. And she flees upstairs again. Why does she go upstairs again? Is my question. Why didn't she just go out the door? But she probably would have been stopped had she done that. There was no way out at this point. And she only realizes there's no escape when she gets up there. And in a desperate move, she jumps out the window a second time. And now she lands on broken glass, flat on her face. Leatherface catches up, continues to chase her into the night, and she's running around bleeding and screaming through more woods and fields.
And it is now daylight, or dawn.
Starting
break.
To be.
Yeah.
The night didn't last very long, did it?
Well, I guess I don't know. I guess she was passed out. I guess they didn't really say how much time by until she woke up.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
but yeah, I don't think I have anything to add to that. Was there? Yeah, I'm not really sure what they untied her so that they could hold her head over the bucket. I don't know if it was because Grandpa was gonna knock her head into the bucket or just so they could catch the blood. I'm not really understanding. I'm not really sure their mentality.
I don't understand that part either. But I think maybe it was to. Just collect the blood. Oh, I know. Maybe it's to make head cheese.
That's right.
Because they spoke about that at the beginning, how the hitchhiker was saying how good it was and how they would take the cow brain and take all the pieces of the cow's head to grind it up and make head cheese. Apparently that's a delicacy in Texas. I'm not sure. But that's probably what they were trying to do to her head.
Okay, yeah, I don't have anything else to add to this scene, I don't think. Yeah, because it's the last one, the finale. But anyway, so my song for this one, I just went with the title of the kind of overall scene. And I picked the song by Alice Cooper called Escape from his Nightmare album from 1975. Of course, it's again, the song has nothing to do with horror stuff. It's just, it says in the song, get me out of here. So I'm just thinking that'd be a good song to actually be playing while you're watching that scene as she's escaping the house and trying to get away still. It's not entirely over yet. But yeah, so that's my song.
Guess what?
Again, from one of my favorite albums of all time, My Night.
Guess what? We picked the same song.
Really? You picked up?
It's a match made in hell. Groovy.
That's funny. I didn't think
it was going to happen, but we did. I guess I don't have to explain why now.
I might have a better explanation than what I had.
No, I don't, actually. It's just self-explanatory. But we did. I only picked two songs that were not death metal related, and that was one of them, and the Pantera Cowboys from Hell song. So we did end up picking the same song again.
Funny, I didn't know when we'd ever do it, and we've already did it twice in two episodes.
Twice.
Unless we do it on the last song. There's the last.
No, I don't think we will on the last one.
No, not if
but
it's
I
death
was trying yes. to pick a couple that aren't death metal, but... Maybe next time I'll just go full on death metal. That way I know for sure that we won't.
Well, death metal definitely will fit in most horror movies. So
yes, and it's easy to pick those. Yeah, it's easy.
Okay, now we get to the finale of the movie.
Leatherface dances with the chainsaw, but I don't think it's really a dance. It's more of anger, frustration. And in this part of the movie, it's one of the most iconic and harrowing in horror cinema. And after enduring hours of psychological and physical torment, including witnessing her friend's death, being chased, jumping through the window twice, that had to be painful. And the infamous dinner scene, Sally manages to escape the cannibalistic family. She runs into the road, and now we see it's dawn, and the sun is up. She sees a She sees a passing semi-truck, accidentally hits the hitchhiker as she's running. He runs over the hitchhiker, so he's gone. She doesn't have to worry about him anymore. The truck driver, he stops briefly and tries to help her, and then even throws a wrench at Leatherface like it's going to do something. But actually, it did. He fell, and he ended up chainsawing his own leg. And now he's really upset because now he's hurt. Sally, she scrambles into the back of a passing pickup truck. So a blue pickup truck stops and she's struggling to get into the bucket of the truck in the back. And she finally gets in there. She's bloodied, wide-eyed. She's hysterical. She's screaming at the driver. She's saying, let's go, hurry up. And of course, Leatherface is right there. But as the truck speeds away, she gets away from him. Now, at the end, we see her laughing and she's erratic, but she's not laughing because she's happy. I think she's just crazy. I don't think she's ever going to be the same after this. I think she's just really...
She might be traumatized.
Yeah, I would say so. She's screaming hysterically. She's traumatized, definitely, but she is alive. And that's what we see. Leatherface, he is swinging his, this is what they say, it's a dance, but it's really him really upset at this point that she got away, and he's swinging the chainsaw in every direction and he's so upset. And then that's the end of the movie.
So she might be one of the first ever final girls.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm surprised she survived all of that torment. And it, of course, it's a woman who survived. Usually the women die in horror movies as well. So one survivor. The last podcast we did, there were no survivors.
Yeah. Well, no, there was one. It's just
only survivor. We didn't know. Yeah, we didn't. It wasn't blatantly... Hey, Ash is still alive. Nah, we didn't know. Did he die or not? But over here, it's apparent that she's
And why didn't alive. The why didn't the dad come out of the dad didn't come out of the house or anything?
No.
Like it was just those two chasing her.
The hitchhiker and Leatherface. I think that one of the most brutal parts is that the hitchhiker gets run over by the semi-truck, which I think is cool.
Yeah, they did show that, even though I'm sure it wasn't a real person when it broke it. But that looked pretty cool. No more hitchhikers. So now Leatherface can do all the work himself.
Yeah. I think the semi truck was the gas truck. That was the same truck that we saw at the beginning of the movie coming into the remote town, and it's the same truck we see leaving.
Oh.
So I think that the gas did get delivered after all.
Oh, yeah. They
you don't need it anymore.
I was going to say, though, that that chainsaw must have a great big gas tank on it, because he never ran out of gas.
He never did. But they had... That's probably why there was no gas at the gas station. They hoarded all of it for their generator and their chainsaw and whatever else.
Maybe he filled it up between spots or something, but they never showed him filling up his chainsaw. And he's chasing her through the woods with the chainsaw running. And he's doing his dance at the end with the chainsaw running.
Yeah. You know that he couldn't see anything in that scene with the mask and everything. I read that when he was swinging the chainsaw, he actually almost hit himself and the filming crew because he could barely see out of that mask.
And yeah, and I did read they were using a real chainsaw too, because
they were
budget or whatever. So they could.
They didn't have stuntmen in those days. So
yeah.
Everything was raw, uncut. Yeah.
Okay. So my song for that one, even though you didn't think it's a dance, but I think it's a dance, I went with Annihilator's song, Demon Dance. Because I just saw
Leatherface Dance.
And that Annihilator is a Canadian thrash band. And that was from their 2004 album, All For You. So, yes, I went with Demon Dance. What's your last song?
We didn't pick the same one this time.
Yeah.
I picked Skinless, Only the Ruthless Remain, because Sally is ruthless. She's so tough. I would have gave up already in my dance. Okay, just kill me. I've been through enough. But she keeps pushing on until the end. And that's from that song was released on June 2nd, 2015. And of course, Skinless, it just matches with the skin mask as well.
There are a lot of bands got names and songs from movies like this, and you know, Evil Dead that we've already done, and other movies that we're going to do, that they definitely inspire a lot of lyrics, especially in death metal for sure. And yeah,
death metal is especially on the brutal side.
Yes,
you just have to pick one, basically.
But so yes, do you have any more fun facts or interesting facts?
Yes, I do. So the bones and animal remains were real in the movie. The stench was overwhelming, I guess, because the animal parts were rotting during then, and it was 100 degrees in Texas when they were filming it. So it was really stinking up the place, and the cast members would often vomit in between takes. The blood in the dinner scene was real. It was not fake blood. Gunnar actually cut Marilyn's finger with a real knife as well. And they used the real blood because the fake blood wouldn't work. So they got frustrated and just did it for real. So he actually cut her finger for real. That was a real thing in real blood that you see in the scene that they were using. Like I mentioned earlier, in Texas, they shot this movie for 32 days and it was over 100 degree heat. They didn't change their clothing. They wore the same clothing every day that they were filming to keep consistency of the blood stains and everything else that was on it. I guess that the clothes even stunk when they were wearing it because it was so hot. And we do see Franklin at the beginning of the movie in the van where he's so hot. Oh, he's sweating. And it's real because it was actually over 100 degrees Fahrenheit. And that's 38 degrees Celsius.
Hot.
Right? The entire shoot, of course, lasted 32 days, like I mentioned earlier. The movie wasn't originally called The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. They thought of names such as Head Cheese, Leatherface, and The Texas Chainsaw Manicure. Why they would pick that, I'm not sure, but it was a joke title. They used real skeletons for the final shot, so the human skeletons were real. Because back in those days, it was cheaper to purchase human bones than it was to get the plastic ones. That's what I have for facts. What do you have?
I did mention earlier that it was inspired by a real killer. The movie claims to be based on true events, but the real inspiration was a person named Ed Gein, who is a notorious Wisconsin murderer and grave robber who wore human skin and made furniture out of body parts. whoever, none of the things were real that he did or anything. I guess there was some supposed human skin on furniture, but none of the other things actually happened. The budget was low. That's why we already said that about using a real chainsaw. Yeah. And you mentioned the smell and the heat. I guess the dinner scene was a torture to film because of the heat, like you said, and it took 26 hours to shoot.
Oh, wow.
Said that Leatherface said it was the worst experience of his life.
I can imagine. Yeah, there was a lot of complaining going on and a lot of vomiting.
So I'm not sure. Was he in all of, I don't know if I didn't look that up. If does he play Leatherface in other Texas Chainsaw movies or different people? I haven't looked that up.
I think he plays in other ones as well.
Okay. And let's see, it was, despite being banned or heavily censored in some countries, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre made over $30 million at the box office. And the budget was only $140,000.
That's less than Evil Dead.
Yeah.
And they shot for 32 days. So imagine what they smelled like. Ugh.
Yeah, it said Leatherface tried to stay away from the rest of the cast to keep it more authentic or something like that. And he didn't change his clothes.
None of them did. Yeah. And like I mentioned earlier, he could barely see out of that mask. So when he was swinging the chainsaw, he was almost hitting himself and the filming crew. And they had to be careful not to get hit by that chainsaw. That was a big chainsaw, too.
And one other thing is that its chainsaw is two words, not one word, which I guess maybe some of the later movies, they just had one word. I didn't look at that, but I know it said 74 movie uses chainsaw as two words. Even the 2003 remake had just one word as chainsaw.
That was their way of coining their title, though.
Yeah.
What do you think? They had it as one word. Didn't they?
Chainsaw is one word, I think. I don't know if they just didn't know that when they made the first one.
Oh, maybe not.
Because I think chainsaw is one word, right?
Yeah. Imagine if they would have called it the Texas Chainsaw Manicure. It wouldn't have made that much money at the box office.
No, I don't think people
tell you right now.
I didn't see no manicuring going on.
Yeah. Definitely.
So there we go. That was a good one, I think. Yeah, that's a classic movie, of course. And I'll have to catch up on some of those other ones to see what I think of them.
Yeah.
All these actors, I don't think, except for, I would say, the cook there, Jim Sydow, as Drayton Sawyer. I think I've seen him in some other movies, but I don't remember seeing any of the other people in any movies that I know of course. Marilyn Burns, that name sounds familiar, but I don't, who played Sally, but yeah, I don't remember ever seeing much. And of course, this is back in 74, so how many movies did I see in those years? So they could have been it.
I'm sure nobody wanted to hire them anymore after that movie.
Maybe. Okay. So now we're going to, and we're taking turns picking the movie. And so now we've decided, this is our second episode, we're already going to decide to, at the end of the movie, we're going to announce, whoever's turn it is going to announce the movie we're going to do next. So we're not going to talk about it before and plan it. So I have decided our next movie is going to be, no, I didn't write the year down, but Return of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
Curse. And I know we
that's a great one,
before, but that will be, yeah. So that's our next movie, Return of the Living Dead. So in 2 weeks, there'll be another episode. So make sure you watch the movie beforehand and pick out your songs. I know it's a crazy zombie movie and a lot different than most zombie movies. So that'll be a fun one.
This will be a fun one. I'm very familiar with this one as well.
Okay.
Looking forward to it.
So everybody for listening, thanks for listening. Make sure you share our podcast with your friends if you like it. Subscribe to us wherever you listen to it. Maybe rate us if you can. hopefully give us 5 out of 5, because we're that good, or we will be that good. We're not yet. And tell us, if you can, tell us what songs you would pick instead of the ones we picked. But anyway, so I'll say goodbye, Lonnie. This was fun.
Goodbye. This was fun. I feel like there was a lot more we could have talked about, but
I think there's so much. There was only an hour and a half movie, but crammed a lot in.
They did.
Too many slow parts.
Yep. But okay. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Goodbye.
You were listening to Someone's in My Fruit Cellar podcast. Subscribe and rate our podcast wherever you listen to our podcast. Podcast edited by Blake. Visit our socials. Till next time.